Let's give a hand to our praise team for leading us so well, everybody. I don't know if you realize the treat you have in having students lead other students. That's a big deal, y'all. That's a big deal. And so we're super grateful for our praise band and how they have led us so well tonight to the throne. And that's what it's all about, is glorifying Jesus. I want to ask you tonight to draw near during this time. There's Bibles on every seat. There's notes on every seat, a pen on every seat. So you don't need your phone, so put those away, because you got a Bible you can flip open. Okay, so we're drawing near to Jesus during this time. Okay, we've been in a series called what? Anybody know? Change the World. It's right there, isn't it? Good job, good job. You can read. Hey, but what has this series been about? God uses ordinary people to do what? Extraordinary things. Good job. Yeah, awesome. God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. That's the only type of people God uses, is ordinary people. Is that good or bad news? That's good news. Why? Because we are ordinary people, at least I am. And so there's hope for me that God can use me to do extraordinary things. And so what this series has been is looking at different people in the Bible that we often skip over. We don't pay a lot of attention to. It's not like your big hero names like Abraham or Moses or David or any of the apostles or disciples or Jesus, right? And it's people we often skip over their names. We don't know a lot about or we've never thought deeply about, but who God used in incredible ways to change the world. We saw the first week, often the way to change the world is through changing one world at a time. And what does that mean? One life at a time, right? It's touching one life at a time. We looked at, the first person we looked at was who? Does anybody remember? I'm doing a little recap for us. It was a prostitute. Rahab. How did God use her to change the world? First off, she placed her faith in the one true God, even when her people were the enemies of God. How did God use her to change the world? Well, they took that first city in the promised land because of her. But what else? Who came through her line? She wasn't of the people of God, but she became of the people of God. Then who was born through her family? Jesus! It's the Bible answer, the Sunday school church answer. Jesus came through this prostitute's line. So if you feel dirty, if you feel too far gone, if you feel too sinful, if you feel like you've gone through too much is happening, or you've done too much, a prostitute who wasn't of the people of God, became of the people of God, and the Messiah to save the whole world was born through her line. That's incredible, right? So God used her to change the world. Last week, who do we look at? Barnabas! He's my boy. If people ask me, well, who's your favorite character in the New Testament, besides Jesus, you gotta always throw that out, I always answer Barnabas. What's special about Barnabas? Did he like to be seen? Was he like, hey, everybody, this is me, Barnabas. I want you to listen to me. Hi, listen, listen. Was he like that? No, he was super humble. He was more concerned about God getting glory than himself getting glory. When you're consumed with God's glory, there's no room for your own glory. And that's how Barnabas lived. He sought to elevate Paul because he was more concerned about kingdom effectiveness than he was about his own platform. He was willing to serve in the background. He was an awesome dude. And you know the people he mentored? He was a leader of leaders. The people he mentored, Paul, Mark, wrote 1/3 of our New Testament. And we barely ever mentioned Barnabas's name. You wouldn't have Paul the way Paul was if it wasn't for Barnabas. You wouldn't have Mark the way Mark was if it wasn't for Barnabas. Yet we barely mention his name. These are the type of people. God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things, right? Now tonight, we're going to look at a lady who, it doesn't even mention her name. Some people say this is Mary Magdalene. Some people say this is Mary, the Mary with Mary and Martha. But really, it's an unnamed lady, okay? What we're going to see. So open your Bibles right now to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. And we're going to see, it doesn't seem like anything that would be spectacular or extraordinary about this story and about this person. And it doesn't even seem like this person changed the world, but we're going to see how. God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things, and he's calling you and me to step out and to do the small things that God calls us to for God to use in big ways. So are you ready? Are you ready? All right. So let's stand in honor of the reading of God's word. We're going to read Mark 14, 1 through 9. And that's the only place we're going to be the whole time. So just leave your Bibles open there. Mark 14, 1 through 9. So this is right before Jesus is about to be betrayed and given over to death and all of this. So here we go. Mark 14, verses 1 through 9. It was now 2 days before the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to arrest him by stealth and kill him. For they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar from the people. And while he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he was reclining at table, a woman came with an alabaster flask. Say, alabaster.
Alabaster.
Flask. All right. Alabaster flask of ointment of pure nard. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're a nard. That makes no sense. Why'd you say that? Don't do whatever someone says. Okay. All right. Alabaster flask of ointment of pure nard. Very costly. Say, show me the money. Okay. I just said, don't do everything someone tells you to do. And you did it. Okay. All right. When are you going to learn? Okay. All right. Let's keep going. Here we go. But anyways, it was very costly. Okay. I lost my spot. There, I found it. Okay. And she broke the flask and poured it over his head. Verse 4, follow along. There were some who said to themselves indignantly, why was the ointment wasted like that? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii, bless you, and given to the poor. And they scolded her. Turn to your neighbor and shake your finger at them right now. I just said, don't do everything. Okay, whatever. All right. But they scolded her. Verse 6. But Jesus said, leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you. Whenever you want, you can do good for them. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. Verse 9. And truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world... What's this series called? Change the what?
World.
Okay, just making sure. Wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her. That's incredible. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Guide us now as we break it open. Let it bring application to our life that we would do similar acts as this woman. Maybe not of the same way. We don't even know what nard is. We've never seen it. But you've called us to abandonment for you, to give up for you, to make you more worthy than anything in our lives. So help us to see the example of this woman, to emulate her faith, to not worry what people think about us as we follow you wholeheartedly in full abandonment. So guide us now. Draw us to you. So that we could begin to live in faith and watch you change the world through us, one life at a time. So guide us now through your spirit and through your words. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. You can have a seat. Keep your Bible open right there because we're going to be in that passage the whole time. We're just looking at this one passage, this one woman. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you what we're going to see. You don't have to write it down yet. It all rhymes, okay? I don't always do this, but we're going to see this woman was devoted, she was scolded, and she was commended, okay? So here's the first part. Verse 3, we're going to see the woman, she was devoted. She was devoted. Look at verse 3. It says, and while he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he was reclining at table, a woman came. Say, a woman came. So a woman came with an alabaster flask of ointment of pure nard, very costly. And she broke the flask and poured it over his head. So the woman, she was devoted. This is your first point. Your first point. It should be up there on the screen. Yeah, she was devoted. She was devoted. So the woman came. She had an alabaster flask that contained pure nard. Does anybody know what nard is? It's not lard. I know that rhymes. It's not nerd. You do know? Holy cow. Like, it is a Himalayan. What in the world? Ointment. Yes. Do you know what it was used for? It was a smelly good. It was supposed to smell like perfume, kind of. But it was often used for burial. They would put on people for burial. That's why Jesus says, oh, she's preparing my body for burial. Anyways, good job. Give snaps to Avery. Like, he knew it was Himalayan. That's crazy. So she had an alabaster flask that contained pure nard and was very costly. So it was an ointment used often in preparation for the dead. Okay? So what was about to happen to Jesus, everybody? It sets it up saying that. It says they were, it was now 2 days before the Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to arrest him by stealth and kill him. And what did they eventually do? They eventually killed him, right? And Jesus even knows this. He's willingly walked into Jerusalem to give up his life for what reason? To save you and for me, right? To be the sacrifice for our sins so God passes over our sins. What an awesome Jesus. What an awesome Savior, amen? That's why we sing. That's why we celebrate. That's why we worship. That's why we bow down, because he came to die for us, to give us life. It's incredible. What a gift. And so this woman comes with an alabaster flask of pure nard, and she breaks it. So the main point, it's not necessarily, it is a cool point to show that this was used for preparation of the dead. That's a cool point. But the main point here, and what we see people get upset about, why do they get upset with her? We're going to see that in a second. But why? Because, and it was costly, and she wasted it, right? Or they thought she wasted it, right? So this was costly. That's the main point. The costly nature is what brought about the people getting upset in the room. So this was a perfume that cost, how much does it say? You have your Bible open. I told you we're going to be in it. How much did this cost? Denarii. If you have footnotes, how much is one denarii? It's about what? Does anybody know? It's about a day's wages. All right, how many days are there in a year? 365. So about how much money is this? It's about a year's salary. That's okay. That puts it in perspective. Now do you see why some people are like, what is she doing? Why is she wasting that? How dare you? There's poor people. We could give that to the poor. And so the point of this is it was very costly. Okay. This was a perfume that cost about an entire year's salary. Now people would look at you funny. Like, this is just the way my mind works. Like if you like saved up and you bought so much Axe body spray, you know, like do y'all, who uses, just be honest, Axe body spray? All right. So all our middle schoolers. Okay, just kidding. No, but imagine like you have like a wheelbarrow full of Axe body spray and you're wheeling it in. Like this is like what I'm picturing. Like she's carrying this fragrant perfume and it costs a lot of money. It's like not normal for people to carry around, okay? So how much it costs was the least of the cost though. I want you to think about this alabaster flask of pure nard. This was likely a family heirloom that was passed down, okay, from grandmother. Does anybody have a family heirloom that you like cherish? Anybody? Like something given to you from a grandparent or great-grandparent? Any of you? Yeah. I have several things, and I highly cherish them. And this was one of those things. It was likely passed down, okay? This was a family heirloom, and she was just trashing it, right? Would your family members look at you crazy if you trashed a family heirloom, right? So this was costly in more ways than just money. It was likely a family heirloom passed down. It could have also been a dowry for her marriage. What's a dowry? Does anybody know? It's like payment for marriage. Like they did stuff different back then, okay? So this had her past involved. This had her present involved. And we've already covered what was nard used for a lot. What was it used for? For burial, for death. So this was likely also to be used for her death. So I want you to picture this. This isn't just like a year's salary, which nobody in here. I remember one day in Bible study, Dylan, like I look over and Dylan's like, yeah, you know what I'm about to say, don't you? He like had like 10 $100 bills. And we're like, what are you doing? Where'd you get all that money? It was fake money. He did get arrested for that. But no, I'm just kidding. He didn't. It was fake money. But nobody carries around like a year's worth of salary is what I'm getting at, right? So I want you to think about that. So first off, it's costly. And here she is. But she's also pouring away her past, family heirloom. She's pouring away her future. Listen. her dowry for her marriage, her present. She's pouring away her future, what would be used for her burial. She saw Jesus as more costly than all of that. This is an incredible act that she did. So in many ways, here's what she's doing. Here's your next point. It's your sub-point for point one. She poured away her future on the Savior. She poured away her future on the Savior. She was sacrificing her future and her present the way people were looking at her. She didn't care. She was pouring it away on the Savior. She broke the flask, which was a gesture of complete abandonment. Now, complete abandonment, this wasn't impulsive. Who has ever got mad and smashed something? Anybody? Just be honest, okay? You've broken something while mad. That's impulsive. That's like, Hulk smash, like in the moment, right? But this isn't what she did. This was a complete abandonment. Y'all stay with me. This was complete abandonment, but it wasn't impulsive. Who carries around a year's worth of salary or something that expensive? Like the most expensive thing I've ever bought. There's two things I can think of. One, I was still in high school or just graduated, and I paid $1,000 worth of my own money. You don't make a lot of money as a young person. Paid it towards a truck that I got, and that was, I cherished that truck even more since I paid, but $1,000 was a lot for me. Is that close to a year's salary? Not even close, not even close. Now, the next thing, it was more expensive. I don't remember how much it cost, but you know what I'm going to say. Hold up your finger. You know, a wedding ring. Like, people dish out a lot of money for a wedding ring, right? But that's not even near a year's worth of salary for that. So if she came to Jesus's, where Jesus was, look at verse 3. While he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he was reclining at table, look, a woman came with an alabaster flask of ointment. This isn't an impulsive gesture. I want you to think about this. When she was alone at her house or wherever she lived, she had purposed in her mind, I'm going to get the most expensive, most cherished thing I have, and I'm going to bring it to honor Jesus. This wasn't impulsive. It was a decision she made beforehand. She decided to do this. She wouldn't have gone to a place like this carrying this material. She was alone and she made the decision to herself, I'm going to go there. I'm going to do this. I wonder if Jesus thought as she's doing it, pouring it over his head. I wonder if he said to himself the words of Psalm 23, prophecy about him. You know, you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I wonder if Jesus is processing some of this as everybody else is getting mad that she's just in total abandonment, throwing away all of this money, throwing away her future, throwing away her past. It doesn't matter to her. She's in complete abandonment, honoring and cherishing Jesus. And Jesus says she has done a good thing. Here's what her action has done. This could summarize all of it. We're not going to stay here long, but look, the action the woman gave, it was unique in its thoughtfulness. It was costly in its giving, its bestowal. It was timely in its provision. It was unique, costly, and timely. It was unique in its thoughtfulness that she would bring an alabaster flask of nard, something that was used for burial, and she's using on this living being who's about to go give his life. It was costly. It was a year's worth of salary, let alone her past, her present, and her future as well. She's breaking and pouring it out in complete abandonment. It was timely in its provision. Jesus was about to go to die, and here she is anointing his body with burial preparation. This was an incredible act this woman did, and it was purposeful. I want you to think about the acts you do in your life towards Jesus, for Jesus. Are they costly? Are they purposeful? Do you purpose how you're going to live for Jesus that day? Do you think more about things of the world than you do about honoring and living for Jesus? This woman went out of her way, and she was devoted. So a woman came. Secondly, because of this, because of the costly nature, because of the abandonment, people looked at her funny. They scolded her. That's your second point. They scolded her. She was scolded. Verses 4 and 5. So she was scolded. Verses 4 and 5 say, there were some who said to themselves indignantly, why was this ointment wasted like that? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. and they scolded her. Verse 6. All right, actually, that was it. And they scolded her. Listen, it must be incredible to think about this for the first time. Like, if you see this story and you're like, oh, that's a wonderful thing that she did. I bet the people around were like jumping with joy. I bet they were falling on their face and crying like, what an incredible act. But then you keep reading and it's like, wait, they got mad? Like, they scolded her? They got upset? Like, this doesn't seem right, does it? Why was this ointment wasted like that, was their response. She should have been commended. She was doing what we all should be doing, but instead, she was rebuked. Now, I want you to think about this. I want you to think about this. This is the same way with you and me. If we live in complete abandonment for Jesus, if we live as Christians who are sold out for Jesus, you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to get looked at funny. You're going to get some mean things said about you. You're going to be seen as strange from the outside world. You know, even from people within the church, if you are truly sold out for Jesus, living in complete abandonment, like crazy faith living for Jesus, people within the church are going to look at you funny. They're going to be like, why are they doing that? How could they be so reckless? They're giving all they have. They're giving away their future. They're giving away that scholarship. They're giving away those friends. How could they do that? You see, the church, people in this room, people that sit in that room, not just our church, but the church in general in America, we're so used to being comfortable, to just sitting and soaking in, to just coming and observing, to just go listen to some songs, not even sing, sit on our phones, talk to our neighbors. To be honest, I was at the back of the room watching, and maybe a fourth of the people were actually paying attention and singing. This devastates me. The story we're studying is about a woman who comes in a complete abandonment, not worrying about what people say, what people think, in worship and honor of Jesus, who is worthy of complete abandonment. She was giving a year's worth of salary. She was throwing away her past, her present, and her future because Jesus is worthy. And we can't even focus on him for 30 minutes. I want you to think about that. If Jesus was right in front of you, and someone was living that way, and doing that for him, what would you say? A lot of us, by our actions, we wouldn't even be paying attention if Jesus was right in front of us, first of all. There's people like this in the church today, but it's always been this way. I want you to listen closely to this quote. This is from a J.C. Ryle long ago. I want you to listen to this. Listen. The spirit of these narrow-minded fault finders is unhappily only too common. Their followers and successors are to be found in every part of Christ's visible church. There's never wanting a generation of people who decry what they call extremes in religion and are incessantly recommending what they term moderation in the service of Christ. Don't give too much. Don't go too far. Don't give them everything. You know, hold back some. Moderation in the service of Christ. If a man devotes his time, money, and affection to the pursuit of worldly things, listen closely with your ears and with your heart. If a man devotes his time, money, and affection to the pursuit of worldly things, they don't blame him. If he gives himself up to the service of money, pleasure, or politics, they find no fault. But if the same man devotes himself and all he has to Christ, they can scarce find words to express their sense of his folly. Saying he is beside himself. He's out of his mind. He's an enthusiast. He's a fanatic. This is what I see in the church. This was written a long time ago. I see it even more now. I see it in student ministry. Parents who seem to take their faith seriously, who don't care if their kids are wasting their time and money on so many things out here. But when it comes to Jesus, he's not worth sacrificing for. This is a travesty for your soul, for your faith. To prioritize and spend ourselves on everything but Jesus. This woman was devoted and she didn't care if she was scolded, if she was chastised, or what anybody thought. But she was willing to give it all and lay it all out for Jesus. So here's what I want to say. Here's a subpoint here. And we're going to go quickly through. But don't worry what people will think. Live in total abandonment for Jesus. If you hear nothing else, don't worry what people think. It doesn't matter what people think about you. It doesn't matter what people say about you. What matters is what Jesus knows about you, right? He's the only one that matters. It doesn't matter if people think you're crazy. It doesn't matter if you talk about Jesus all the time and they say, why are you doing this? Stop. It doesn't matter if people get angry with you. Live in total abandonment. Don't worry about what people think. I was your age once. I still care about what people think. I know it's how hard it is. But what matters the most is what Jesus thinks. So live in total abandonment for him. Abandonment seems unsafe. Draw near here. Draw near. The world says it's not smart. But listen, this is the safest and smartest abandonment there is. Listen, because it's abandoning all things that won't satisfy, that won't save, that can never heal, fill, or comfort. It's abandoning for the only future you can be sure of and trust. It's the only abandonment and sacrifice where you're letting go of something lesser to grab hold of something greater. This is what it is to abandon all for the sake of Jesus. Total abandonment, all because Jesus is worthy. So this is what this lady did, and she didn't care. She was scolded, and it didn't matter. All that mattered was the Jesus in front of her and her act of faith and the action of showing his worth through her action. Here's our third point. She was commended. It didn't matter what the world said about her. It didn't matter what the people in the room said about her. It didn't matter what the church said, what the non-Christian said. It didn't matter what anybody said. What matters is what Jesus said about her. They scolded her. He commended her. He said she did what she could. Look at verses 6 through 8. This is what Jesus said about her. But Jesus said, leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done, listen, a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you want, you can do good for them, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. This is all God asks us, to do what we can. This is what God asks of us, to do what we can. This is how God works, using ordinary people to do extraordinary things. He doesn't ask us to do extraordinary things. He asks us, listen, to do what we can. Do you see him say that about this woman? She did what she could. And he commended her for it. She's done a beautiful thing. That's all he asked us to do. And he does the rest. It's like when Jesus fed the 5,000 with 2 fish and 5 loaves. Who was it who did the feeding? It was the disciples. He's like, take it and give it out. They're like, there's not a lot. He's like, just do what you can. And they go give it out. Who was it that was doing the multiplying, though? It was Jesus. He tells us to do what we can, and he does the extraordinary. We do what we can. We offer up ourselves and whatever we can, and he takes care of the rest. Amen? It's the same with you. Listen, you bringing that one friend to church could change the trajectory of the whole world, or at least their world. That's what happened for me. That one decision to quit that habit or remove yourself from that situation could change the trajectory of the rest of your life. That one decision to befriend that person who always sits alone can change their world and your world in the process. But it takes making a decision and to do what you can. Like this woman purposing in her heart beforehand to go do this to Jesus. Would you purpose in your heart right now to live in complete abandonment and do what you can in the moments that he offers you? Because he's worthy. So here's our sub point right here. God uses our small acts of obedience to do large, extraordinary things. Amen? This is incredible. God can use us to change the world. He uses small acts of obedience to do large, extraordinary things. She sacrificed her past, present, and future for the worth of Jesus. Jesus is worth more. Whatever you can name, Jesus is worth more. How did this lady change the world? How do you think? It doesn't seem like it. Like the other stuff we saw, like big things. How did this lady change the world? Well, it seemed like maybe she just changed that room. So how? I want you to think about this. Are you reading about her right now? Is she recorded in the scriptures? Are we seeing her faith lived out? How long ago was that? 2,000 years ago. Was that in our area? No, that was all over the world. Look at verse 9. Look at verse 9. Look, and truly I say to you, this is Jesus talking about her, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, What she has done will be told in memory of her. She changed the world. It doesn't seem like she did. She honored Jesus and made people mad. She changed the world because you're still reading about her today. You're still seeing her faith displayed today. You're still witnessing her sacrifice for the worth of Christ today. God is using her example to show you the worth of Christ that surpasses all things that you are pursuing. And so would you take her example? Would you live it out? Would you see the world change? Would you let your world be changed through this woman's example? What are you pursuing that's not worth it compared to Jesus? What things are you placing above him as more worthy than him? In what ways are you living in abandonment and sacrificing for things of the world but not for Jesus? Let's take her example and do the small acts of obedience and watch God do the rest as we do what we can. That's what he calls us to. He calls us to the small acts of obedience. I want you to invite someone to church next week, to this Sunday night, to this Sunday morning. I want you to go sit with somebody in the cafeteria who sits by themselves. In a few weeks, we're going to, I'm trying to start up a thing. I'm still planning it. Called Wildcats for Christ. Listen, we're going to start gathering on Monday mornings for anybody who wants to before school for a little Bible study, a little encouragement, a little whatever. But listen, we're going to start a campaign kind of getting people. You're going to have bracelets that say Wildcats for Christ, and it's also going to say Speak Jesus, encouraging us and getting in our mind every day for at least one person to try to draw out and say the name of Jesus to them. Not in a weird way, not in a like, oh, Jesus, taking his name in vain, but in a way that makes them think about him or consider him for a moment. We're going to purpose that. This whole year, we're going to speak Jesus in our schools. That's one small act of obedience, doing what we can and watching him do the rest, right? And so you're going to see things. God's calling you to small things that he can and will use in extraordinary ways if we would just be willing. Are you willing? Are you willing? This lady was. And she was willing to show Jesus was worth her past, her present, and her future. Worth it all, no matter what people thought. So don't worry what people think. Live in total abandonment and do what you can and watch him do the rest. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for meeting us here tonight. Thank you for the testimony of this lady not caring what anybody thought, but willing to show your worth it all for her. Let us live that way. Not show that acknowledgement or entertainment or even school, whatever. Nothing's more important than you, Jesus. So would we speak your name? Would we have conversations about you? Would we be willing to sacrifice our time, our energy, our efforts, our money for your sake, to help others, to speak your name, to guide them to the only one that can save? For you were coming to die. And this woman did a beautiful thing because she prepared you for your burial. You died for us to give us life. Forgive us, Lord, for taking for granted the life that is free and full in you, Jesus. If there's anyone in here who doesn't know that salvation and that life in you, right here, right now, would they realize that that's a free gift, that apart from you, they perish. They get what they deserve. But with you, you took the punishment. If we place our faith in you, believe in you, and say, I receive you as my Savior, I believe in you, and I want to follow after you, Jesus, you're worth it all. And they have life because you took the punishment for their sins. So if there's any in here who hasn't made that decision, would you purpose in your heart right now and say, I believe in you, Jesus, I want life. I don't want punishment for what I've done, but I know you took it for me, and I believe in you. If that's your heart cry and you just say that in your heart, you're saved. You've been given life. And for all of us, every person who has made that decision and who is your follower, would we not be the people in that room who are scolding and looking at people who live sold out for Jesus? But would we be the woman who is anointing you and not caring what anybody else thinks? Would we be that person for your glory? Because you're worth it all, Jesus.
So be glorified in us and through us. Use our small acts of obedience in extraordinary ways for our good, the good of our neighbor, and for your glory. It's in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Thank you for coming to Refuge tonight. Live this out, y'all. Come hang out with us at Zaxby's afterwards. Speak Jesus. Tomorrow at school, y'all, speak Jesus. Make someone think about Jesus at some point.